looking at verse 4, which is the valley of the shadow of death. Last week we began looking at the presence of the Lord. For thou art with me, that is given as the reason not to fear. And we see the blessings of God's presence in the remainder of verse 4 and verse 5. We saw last week, of course, that God is omnipresent. It is something that we all believe. God is spirit. God is everywhere at the same time. And that includes past, present, and future. But as you read the scriptures, it becomes obvious that there is a special degree of the presence of the Lord. And we began looking at that last week as well. We see it's really presented in a twofold way, this special, we'll call it the gracious presence of God. It's really presented in two ways in scriptures. We see from the negative, such phrases as Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Well, obviously that cannot be referring to the general omnipresence of God, because there's nowhere, again, Psalm 139, there's nowhere you can go where he isn't. And we read of such phrases as God withdrawing his presence, obviously not speaking of his universal providential presence. And this gracious presence of God is presented from the positive. We see God was with, and then follows a name. And we see this all through the Old Testament. For example, God was with Abraham. And we read that in several places. God was with Jacob. God was with Joseph. God was with Moses, Joshua. God was with Israel through the judges in Judges chapter 2. God was with Samuel. God was with David. God was with Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Cyrus. These are all individuals where it is specifically stated that God was with them. Again, something greater than God's universal providential presence. And I believe when the psalmist says, "For thou art with me," he's not speaking of the general universal providential presence of God. That's included, of course, but that's not what he's speaking of. He's speaking of God's gracious presence, a very special presence. Again, David in the valley says to God, again, he's no longer speaking of God, he's now speaking to God. And he speaks in a tone of great calm and assurance out of this valley. And he says, "For thou art with me." Just prior to that, he said he would fear no evil. "For," or "because, thou art with me." So his focus is upon this presence of the Lord. Prior to verse 4, he acknowledged the presence of God in verses 2 and 3. Again, none of the things that you read of in verses 2 and 3 can happen without his presence. They all imply the presence of God. But now he's in the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes God's people are in that valley of the shadow of death. And it can be so dark that you cannot see the path ahead. And though you cannot see ahead, you know that there are predators and there are enemies that lie in wait. But how wonderful it is to have this assurance, Thou art with me. Thou art with me. To have the assurance, notice in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Verse 1, he's admonishing them to fear not. In verse 2, he says, when, this is a reason not to fear, when, not if, but when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And the reason is that God is with us. And he says in verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 4, he says that we were precious in his sight and that he loved us. And then in verse 5, he again says, fear not. For, going back to verse 2, for I am with thee. I am with thee. That's the special, gracious presence of the Lord. And it is something that ought to be longed for. It's something that we ought to pray for every day. Every day we ought to pray that God go with us. Again, that's not speaking of his providential presence, but his gracious and merciful presence, his revealing presence. Something we ought to long for. Something that we ought to desire. And we see individuals in the Word of God longing for this presence of God and praying for this presence of the Lord. Notice concerning Moses in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, and verses 15 through 17. In verse 14, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. In other words, Moses is saying, I don't want to go anywhere unless your presence goes with me. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? So he's talking about the gracious presence of the Lord. Is it not in that thou goest with us? Again, the gracious presence of God. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. There's a sanctification, a setting apart in this presence of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Thou hast found grace. Again, this is the gracious presence of the Lord, and I know thee. It speaks of an intimate relationship. God knows everyone, but he doesn't know everyone the same way. There is an intimate relationship. We see David longing for this presence. Notice in Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Oh God." Again, there's emotion in those words. "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, God's special dwelling place." He said, "I've seen you there, and I desire to see you in that way in my everyday life." And we see him in Psalm 67, the psalmist, in verse 1. He says, "God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us." That's the presence of God, causing his face to shine upon us. Psalm 80 and verse 3. "Turn us again, O God, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved or delivered." Notice verse 7. "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." In verse 19, he says it one more time. "Cause thy face to shine." That's the gracious presence of the Lord. So there is no doubt. There is the providential presence of God. He's everywhere. And in that sense, he's with everyone. There is a special, gracious, loving presence of God. We want to look at the impact and the effect of God's gracious presence. Mankind in general is oblivious to the providential presence of God. They don't even recognize the presence of God. They refer to luck. They refer to unlucky. They refer to Mother Nature. They're oblivious and ignorant of the presence of God all around them. So it's no surprise that when God works, you know, God sends a hurricane. I mean, that is a display of the a minute display of the power of God. And people refer to Mother Nature because they're oblivious, they're ignorant of God. But I want to say that if you have this gracious presence of God in your life, you can't be oblivious to it. You know it's there. You know it's there. So we hear again David saying, "Now from that valley, thou art with me, thou art with me." So let's look at some of the effects of this presence. In Psalm 68, there's power in God's presence, and that's true in the providential presence of the Lord. Verse 8, "The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God." Now that can refer to the providential presence of God. It can also refer to the power of his gracious presence. "Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God." Of God, the God of Israel. There's power in the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 97 and verse 5, "The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." Both those verses declare that in God's presence, again, doesn't matter what you're speaking of here, whether it be the providential presence of God, and I think these verses that we just read speak of the providential presence of God, or rather you speak of the gracious presence of God, there is power in the presence of the Lord. And it is a power that you cannot escape. And in the gracious presence of God, when God saved our soul, in the day of Psalm 110, verse 3, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. There's a power, God's presence, made us willing. And even if you wanted to get away, you couldn't. There's power in His presence. His presence is His glory and His honor. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 27. Glory and honor are in His presence. Glory and honor are in His presence. The glory of God is who He is. It's His attributes. It's all of His attributes. Glory and honor are in His presence. There is the glory. There is the honor of God. So there's power. There's the power of God in His presence. There is the glory and there is the honor of God in His presence. What are the effects upon man? And now we're going to speak of the gracious presence of God. What are some of the effects of the gracious presence of God? Joseph found prosperity in God's gracious presence. Notice in Genesis 39, Genesis 39. Got some loose pages here in Genesis and Exodus. Genesis 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man. Now that's speaking directly of material prosperity. But of course, there's even a greater prosperity, and that's spiritual. In verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Others could see that there was something different about Joseph because of the presence of God. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, that is Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. There's prosperity in the gracious presence of the Lord. Now don't be so foolish as to think that if you do something and God gives you more money or more material blessings, that this is definitely the will of God and God has put His hand of blessing upon it. That's not necessarily so. That could be a curse. But there is prosperity in the presence of the Lord. Moses found rest in the presence of God. Again, if we go back to Ezekiel 33, verse 14. Ezekiel 33, verse 14. And my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That is, in my presence, I will give thee rest. God's people can find special rest, a rest that you cannot find anywhere else. It's a rest like unlike all other. It's found in the presence of the Lord. Joshua found ability in God's gracious presence. In other words, there was enabling power in the presence of God. Joshua 6, verse 27, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." He found ability in God's presence. Israel found victory in the presence of God. Notice the book of Judges, chapter 2, and verse 18. "And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge." Now, that doesn't mean the judge was saved, but God was with the judge in a special way and delivered the children of Israel. God was with the judge on behalf of the nation of Israel. God can still do that with leaders today in the political realm. He can be with them in a way that for the sake of his own people. And that's happened throughout the history of the world. Samuel found growth and usefulness in God's presence. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground," that is, to be wasted. Samuel found usefulness in the presence of the Lord. Hezekiah found progress in God's presence. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 7. 1 Kings 18, verse 7. "And Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face." Okay, I've got a wrong verse there. Let's go on to Jehoshaphat. He found stability in the presence of God. I needed 2 Kings 18, 7 as the verse I was looking for. But we'll go past that and go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 3 through 5. "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." So we see there's God's gracious presence, but God's presence can be due to our own life as well. "But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance." The psalmist declared that there's joy in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 11. "Thou shalt show me the path of life." And the path of life is the presence of God. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand," which again speaks of his presence, "there are pleasures forevermore." So from that verse alone, if someone is always downtrodden, always miserable, mark it down, they know nothing of the presence of God. Because in thy presence is fullness of joy. There are no special clauses that say except In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, pleasures. And notice they're lasting forevermore. There's protection in the presence of God. We not only need protection from that which is outside, we need protection from ourselves. Psalm 31, verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. And again, that could imply not only from the pride of others, but from our own pride. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There's help in the presence of God. Again, very familiar verses, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So there are many, many, many effects of this presence. There's refreshment. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so let me boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isaiah 40, verse 31, there's renewal and weakness in the presence of the Lord. There's great comfort in the presence of the Lord concerning our duties toward God. So you see, thou art with me. If that is so, somewhere that shows up in your life. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. If God's gracious presence is with us, it makes an impact upon us. It makes an impact upon our day. And that's why we should start every day pleading, longing for God's presence to go with us. In every endeavor we undertake, we ought to pray and plead that God would go with us. And for someone to take a step forward and say, well, I'm not sure if God's with me or not, you're a fool. How foolish. You better make sure that God is with you. Before you speak, before you act, oh, how much trouble we would save in our life if we made sure God was with us before we opened our mouths. Presence of God is a great blessing in many, many, many different ways. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this 23rd Psalm. We thank you, Lord, for not only what's written, but we thank you that we can live our life in this Psalm, that this Psalm can define our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. We thank you, Lord, for your gracious presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for how many times your presence has saved our lives. And we just pray that you would continue throughout the remainder of our days to go with us, Lord, that we might always be aware of thy gracious, loving presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.